And we are going to be in Exodus chapter 18. That's page 39 in your Bibles. At your seats there, Exodus chapter 39. We'll have all the verses on the screen today. What you're going to want to have there is with you this morning is your sermon notes. We're going to go through four things pretty quickly that you're probably not going to have time to write down, but you're going to want to have those. So in your sermon notes, you'll have those. I'm just giving you a heads up on that. So welcome to Bring Your Boss to Church Sunday. Woohoo! Yay, right? Well, since we only announced it 2 weeks ago, it really hasn't caught on nationally. But hey, we're hopeful, right? I want to tell you, today I want to tell you how to get more accomplished in less time. That would be good, right? Today I want to tell you how to create a company, how to create a department, how to create a ministry that reflects your strengths and not your weaknesses. That would be good. Today I want to tell you how to eliminate stress while you're doing all of that. How would you love that, right? We're in a series on time, and we began by pointing out that most of us spend more time thinking and asking what time it is than we do the most important question. The most important question we can ask is, what am I doing with my time? Because time is a limited asset, that's an important question to answer. So we've been praying along these lines. We started out our series with this prayer. Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's the promise there. Lord, teach us as we learn to number our days, as God begins to do that work in our life, will gain a heart of wisdom. And with that in mind, we live our days as if they're numbered, because guess what? They are numbered. And God knows that number, doesn't he? Then 2 weeks ago, we talked about priority determines capacity. And this past Sunday, we talked about compounding minutes, just like we like compounding interest. How many like to receive compounding interest, but you don't like to pay it? Well, here we can do the same thing with our time. We make small investments. If you missed any of those messages, just mark your communication card. We'll get you those, or you can go back online and watch them or listen to them. Today, I want to talk to you about a really important principle that can change your life with regards to time. And that is the less is more principle. Less is more. When I started out in my career, I operated under the assumption that great leaders were great at everything they did. There's a mystery around Steve Jobs. There's a mystery around Jack Welch. One of my favorite leaders of all time is Truett Cathy. I've been in his office, never met him personally. I met his son, Dan. But Truett Cathy is the founder and was the founder and owner. He's passed away now. But he built a vast empire, a debt-free empire of Chick-fil-A restaurants all over the country. Truett Cathy is one of those incredible leaders, and there's a little bit of a mystery surrounding Truett Cathy. There's movies and books that support a narrative around these people like Steve Jobs and Winston Churchill and Ronald Reagan and other incredible presidents and other people. And they're good at everything, aren't they? At least that's the narrative that's put out there. So I decided the best thing for me when I started my career was to get better at what I was bad at. That I would start focusing on my weaknesses and improving my weaknesses. My strengths would take care of themselves. I was pretty young when it occurred to me that my fully developed strengths are of much greater value to me, my church, and back then, my business, than my marginally improved weaknesses. I just couldn't move the needle on my weaknesses hardly at all. For example, my mama made me take piano lessons. I have absolutely no rhythm. You've heard me clap, right? I'm completely tone deaf. The rhythm is so bad. They had that TikTok thing, as I call it, a metronome. I just would be like, I would try so hard to match it up, but they just, she has to, if we go dance, you know, we like on a ship or something, and they, she has to start me dancing. I just, there's no possible way that I can start on the right time. I mess it up every time. I'm completely tone deaf. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. She doesn't let me sing in the shower. It's so bad. Music isn't my thing. Other than that, I'm a great musician. In the years I took piano, I'm talking 8 painful years of piano. This is the song I remember. I remember where middle C is because, well, this song starts on middle C. You ready? I need some volume here, Aaron. Oh, see, I don't know how to work this. It's too fancy. There's lights and buttons. Ready? Aren't you so impressed? That is the extent of my musical ability after 8 years of piano. Woohoo! That was a lousy investment. Kim, you know, I could continue in piano. I could continue in music. I could press through. I could spend my days and nights perfecting my musical genius. And who knows, in 300 to 400 years, I might creep just above average. Or I could begin focusing on being a better communicator. And that's something I love to do. Kim, on the other hand, is a gifted musician and hates, with a passionate hate, public speaking. She would rather do just about anything than speak publicly. She could work on her public speaking, or she could take that same energy and time and commitment and lean into her strength as a musician, and she could move that needle a lot. She could grow slightly as a public speaker over many, many, many years of investment, but with the same amount of time and energy and effort, she could soar in her musical ability. In case you need to leave early, I want to give you the bottom line. Here it is. Your fully exploited strengths are of far more value than your marginally improved weaknesses, too. That's true for you as well. It's true for everybody. The less you do, actually, the more you'll accomplish. Now, if I had been reading my Bible more carefully, I probably would have learned that much sooner and saved myself a lot of hassle. I could have said, see, Mama, I shouldn't do piano 8 years earlier. This morning, we want to be in Exodus chapter 18, and so start turning there. And this is the story of Jethro and Moses. I want to give you a little bit of background before we start, and it takes place in 1500 B.C., that's 3,522 years ago, give or take a week. Moses has led 2 million people out of Egypt. 2 million people. They've been out about 4 months, and there was no law. There was no government. There was no order. There was no organization. There was just Moses. Moses spoke for God. Whenever there was a dispute, everyone, and I'm talking everyone, took their dispute to Moses to settle. And 2 million people, you can imagine how many cases there were to listen to. How would he get anything done? So they travel to Mount Sinai, where God gives them the law of God and the Ten Commandments. And while they are there, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes to visit, and he brings back his daughter, which was Moses' wife and his children. Moses had put them with Jethro for the time during the Exodus, and now they were bringing them back. So we picked up the story, Exodus chapter 18, verse 7. Right here it says, so Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. This was the typical way you greeted your father-in-law in 1500 BC. It's a little creepy today to give your father-in-law a big smack on the cheek, but that's how they did it then. So the next time you meet your father-in-law, give him a big, wet, sloppy kiss. He'll love it. And so... Where was I? No, verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. That's all they did. That's all day. That's a lot of time. This was consuming Moses, every ounce of strength he had. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What you are doing? What is this you are doing for the people? What are you doing?" Moses was probably a little defensively. He might have said something like, "I'm doing my job, Pop. What's up? Why would you even question that? I have to. This is my responsibility." Listen, Moses, why do you sit alone as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses, what made sense to you? What makes sense to you? Moses is a little bit crazy. I mean, it looks ridiculous to Jethro. So Moses, verse 15, Moses answered him, "Because the people have come to me to seek God's will." He tried to spiritualize it, Moses did. He tried to spiritualize it. This is about God. I'm doing the Lord's work, father-in-law. I'm doing the Lord's work. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing, Moses, is not good. You shouldn't be doing this." And friends, here we have the first classic leadership mistake. Moses confused something. Moses confused his overall responsibility with a specific task that he was doing. Leaders are always responsible for, and leaders always have authority over many, many, many things that they should never be personally involved with, ever. We do this for a couple of reasons. First of all, we like it. In some cases, it's why we got into the business. In some cases, it's why we got this career. In some reasons, it's why we love this ministry that we just started, and we go gung-ho into it, and we like it, and we love doing all the busy work. In some cases, we're convinced that nobody else can do it like we can because, of course, we're the smartest one in the ministry. We're the smartest one in the organization, right? Nobody can do it like we can. Another reason is there's nobody else to do it. And that's really an indictment on us because we're supposed to raise up leaders and reproduce ourselves and constantly be working ourselves out of a job. So if we haven't raised up other leaders, it's really a reflection on us. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Moses, look, this is a lose-lose deal, Jethro's telling him. Nobody wins at the end of the day. You're just going to get exhausted. Verse 19. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. In other words, if you want to write this in the footnotes of your Bible, in other words, may God give you the good sense to listen to some good advice. That's basically what Jethro is saying. You must be the people's representative before God. That is true, Moses. And Moses, you must bring their disputes to him. That is also true. But Moses, you got to teach them the decrees and the laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. There's something bigger here, Moses. Moses, listen, your unique role is teacher of the law. That's what you're not doing when you're judging and listening to how two ladies are going at each other. When a neighbor's dog bit some cow that the other neighbor had, and it's taking your time away from things that are really urgent. Your unique role is teacher of the law and representative of the nation of Israel to God. That's a huge thing, Moses, and that's a national thing. That's bigger than one little dispute. And it's not a personal thing. You can't spend one-on-one time with 2 million people, Moses. You got to get bigger than that. Those are two things, Moses, that only you can do. Nobody else can do this for you, Moses. Teacher and representative, you got to focus. That's where your time is best spent. Not dispute settling, not judging matters, trivial matters. Leave that to other people who, by the way, God has raised up that are gifted in that area. That's going to be a win, not only for you, not only for the people coming to see you, but for the entire nation. They're all going to benefit from this. So here's Jethro's advice. Moses, select a capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. Now, I'm sure at this point, it would be me, Moses is thinking, I can't get through my day and have any time left. How am I supposed to start doing all of this? I'm so busy. Listen, Moses, have them serve as judges for the people at all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and look at this, I heard a preacher that I don't think got this right, that Moses started listening to Jethro instead of to God. But listen to Jethro's advice here. I don't think it's quite accurate. If you do this, and God so commands. See, Jethro said, if God doesn't approve this, scrap it. Jethro believed in the Lord. He was a servant of God. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses, here's the bottom line. Only do what only you can do. That will win. You will actually accomplish more, Moses, by doing less. Probably didn't think that was possible, but that's exactly what the lesson is today. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones, they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. Jethro's message to Moses was not simply delegate. See, we can read this passage and not get deep enough. This is not a delegation passage. There's the element of delegating in this passage, but that's not the big idea. That's part of it, but not the whole thing. If you stop there, you stop short. Some people read this story, and that's all they get, but there's so much more. It goes much deeper. It is narrower than just delegation. It's much more specific than just delegation. It's far more focused than just that one subject. The essence is, Moses, only do what only you can do. If somebody else can do it, Moses, you got to give that away. That was Jethro's message. Moses, find your unique contribution and lean into that. Less is more. And that's what God is telling you today. Less is more. When we are hired by a new company, or we start a new job, we start a new career, or we begin a company, maybe you're an entrepreneur, not everybody's cut out for that. Yeah, maybe you begin a new ministry in the church, right? And you start doing all these things. It's natural. It's sometimes necessary to do all of those things. It's natural because it's what we're expected to do, and it's necessary because there may not be anybody else to do it. Yet, that's natural and necessary will eventually be your undoing. Because you can't continue that pace. You can do it for a short time, but you can't continue that pace forever. Great leaders lean into their strengths, not their weaknesses. They shoot toward only doing what only they can do. Playing to your strengths requires four things. These are the four things you're going to want to have, and they're in your sermon notes. So pull your sermon notes out. You can follow along with me. The first one is to discover what you're not good at. Circle not in that sermon note. Circle that. Discover what you're not good at and look for ways to eliminate those things from your schedule. Don't try to improve on those things. Don't try to get better at them. If you stink at it, admit it, and let's find someone else that's really good at that to give that to. And not sure what they are? That's pretty easy. Just ask your father-in-law. He'll know. In fact, you can ask just about anybody around you and they'll know. When you confess a weakness, nobody reaches for a pin because they already know your weaknesses, don't they? Just like you know your boss's weaknesses. They've been waiting for you to catch up and discover it for yourself. That's the truth. People in your office have been trying to take things from you, and there's a reason for that. You stink at it. You're not good at it. So give it away. Let that be okay. And number two, identify areas where you make the greatest contribution. That's where you need to be focusing. What are the one or two things that if you get right, just about everything else works out? What is that? What are your strengths? Where will you make the biggest impact, the biggest difference in your ministry, your organization, wherever? Work in that. Number three, give your best time. For me, that's early morning. Give your best time to what makes the biggest impact. I have a sermon to write. I write it first thing in the morning. I do my devotions, and then I get right into my sermon. I give God that biggest chunk of time and my best time when I'm most alert, when I'm thinking the most clearly, when I'm all engaged, and I shut the distractions off and shut the beeps off on my phone and just get alone. If I'm writing, I'm not going to answer you if you text me. And that's a good thing. That's okay. Finally, develop other leaders. If you fail to do this one, you just can't grow any further. You need to be giving stuff away as much as you're able to do so all the time. Live with the idea to replace yourself. Live with the idea to constantly be apprenticing others. And if you have kids, that's your children. Before the boys moved out, Kim was giving just about every chore away because that's what we got to do is teach them how to live on their own. Leadership is not primarily about getting things done right. Listen to me. Leadership is about getting things done through other people. Listen, here's one more thing. Listen carefully. Make as few decisions as possible. That sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? That's not what we're told. The buck stops with me. But listen, great leaders like Truett Cathy, Steve Jobs, Ronald Reagan, if you like him, if you like some other president. Great leaders, Winston Churchill, they made few decisions as possible. They had really smart people around them to make decisions. You don't have to give a lot of orders. Most people, Moses, right? Jethro's advice, he let other people decide cases. What a shift was that? Leverage your authority as little as possible. Great leaders say one phrase a lot. One phrase. I'll let you make that decision. Let's practice that. Come on. One, two, three. I'll let you make that decision. Right, Pastor Matt? I'll let you make that. He's smiling because I've said it to him 100 times. Hey, Matt, you went to college. You can figure this out. I'm going to let you make that decision. Whatever it is, we'll live with it. When we delegate the things we're not good at to the right people, we give other leaders in our organization, in our ministry, the opportunity to shine. And that's a good thing. We need to let others shine. So don't be threatened by that, and don't let your insecurities rise up and get the best of you. Insecurities never serve you well. Put them away. What is the outcome? What will happen if you put this into your life? Personally, you'll find it much easier to establish a sustainable pace. You can't keep the sprint up forever. Stress is often associated with all of that. Stress is often related to what you are doing, not how much you are doing. When you work outside of your gifting, that's when you get stressed out. That's when burnout takes place. Working outside of your sweet spot is exhausting. It takes energy out of you. Working in your zone is actually energizing. When you're working in your gifting, it's ministry and you get refreshed. You can just keep going because God has refreshed you at every step that you take. Corporately, you'll end up with an organization that reflects your strengths, not your weaknesses. You'll end up with a ministry and a church that reflects your strengths, not your weaknesses. Israel was the first nation ruled completely by law. Other nations had law, but the king still ruled the nations. Law was what set Israel apart from all the other nations. They didn't have a king. Moses wasn't a king. They established a system of judges and law that made them unique among all the nations of the world. I have a warning for you, a big, huge, giant warning that you need to pay attention to. This doesn't work everywhere. You can do this at work. You can do this in your department. You can do this in your ministry. And I hope you all have a ministry. But don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. Men, if you're not naturally affectionate, don't delegate that job out to your neighbor or your wife's tennis coach. That isn't going to end well. Ladies, if you aren't a good listener, don't delegate that out to your husband's assistant. Don't say, Sally, listen, would you help me? I need you just to stare in his eyes and tell him that all his ideas are wonderful. Because I'm just not good at doing that. Ladies, that's not going to end well. The New Testament teaches that we've all been designated with special abilities. We're all better at some things than other things. That's what makes the church work so well. As you discover those gifts that God has given you, that's what the New Testament refers to them as gifts of the Spirit, and He gives each one of us a gift as He so pleases and chooses to do so. And as you get yourself in places where you're able to lean into them more fully and start using them, you'll be more productive in every area of your life. You'll be more fulfilled in every area of your life. And listen, you'll be less stressed in every part of your life because you'll be working in the way that God made you. And that's a good thing. You'll be working in sync with God and the way He designed and created you in your mother's womb. And you'll be doing what you were created to do, what only you can do. One final word on this subject. As all of you know by now, if not, you've been sleepwalking. We are moving into a time of transition at South Bay. Been working hard to get this transition right. It is so important for each one of you to find your strength, how God has gifted you, how God has made you, and to work in your gift. Every single one of you, especially the members, deacons, you need to challenge people in your care on this issue. Every single one of you need to find your gift and your strength. Every single one of you needs to help the church move forward. Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. All of us need to be doing that. That's not Pastor Matt's job. We're the church. You're the church. God has given you gifts that He hasn't given Pastor Matt. And we all have to come together and do that. A disciplined people, doing ministry, singing, administrating, serving, only asking you to do what only you can do. But do it. But do it. Don't assume someone else will step up. God has given you a gift to teach or exhort the word, then you need to look for opportunities and go and maybe be a group leader or start learning how to lead a group. God has given you hospitality. We have groups meeting here at the church because we don't have homes for them to meet in. God has given you a beautiful home, and you know how to put out some cheese and crackers. You can do this. It's not rocket science. First impressions, children's ministry, worship ministry, ushering, security, hospitality, biblical counseling, video ministry, PowerPoint, parking lot ministry, setting out the parking cones on Sunday so you guys don't park too close to the road. Come on. That isn't hard. Sweeping the rugs between services, helping people into the building on rainy days. That's one of my favorite ministries. I love to do that when I can. Take an umbrella and help somebody in. Take a lady to her car. Mowing the lawn. Raking up leaves on the church property or a neighbor's property. Helping keep the building painted. This is a white building and it gets dirty all the time. We are always painting this building. Repairing the building. Deacons ministry. Elders ministry. Servant evangelism. Group leader. Group host. Youth ministry, and that's just some of the ministries we have at South Bay, but somebody else will do it. Yeah, but God put you here for that. They won't do it maybe as well as you will because he gifted you. They're doing it out of have to. Listen, only do what only you can do, but do it. Get busy doing it. Where are you going to serve? Talk to the Lord about that, would you? Talk to the Lord about that. And then talk to Pastor Matt. Lord, we lift you up. We praise you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, open up heaven. Pour out your spirit and kindness on every single one. Lord, we need you in this place. We pray in Jesus' name that you would help us do what only we can do. Lord, this applies to work. This is our department. Lord, this applies to being a good somebody our boss can delegate to. Lord, helping them think through all of that. But Lord, this also applies to the church. So, Father, we pray for every single person in this building, every single person watching online. We want to start online groups. And Lord, there's people that watch every single Sunday that can lead an online group. So Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that by your Spirit you would infuse us with, here is the way, walk in it. Nudging us by your Holy Spirit to step up. And Lord, lead us and guide us by your glory. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if our ushers could receive the communication cards, just fill those out on the back. And if you want to get busy, just write on that comment section, hey, I want to serve, and somebody from the church will get by with you. We can even help you figure out what you're good at, how God has gifted you. All right, why don't you stand up with us? Let's have our benediction. Father, we just lift you up and praise you. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your church. God, this is the greatest work on planet Earth. We get to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And Lord, you've called South Bay to the greater Mauritius area. So God, help us fulfill your purpose. Empower us, infuse us with strength and courage and power, Lord, to take your gospel and save people and help them grow in a relationship with you. And God, we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.